With Laura Fox Podcast.
Now, my track of the week all this week is Daisy Chains by the wonderful Amy, and she's just released her brand new EP, and she is here with me now live in studio. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am great. I'm so happy that you're here. Congratulations on Daisy Chains.
Thank you, and thank you for making it track of the week as well.
I mean, it was absolutely the easiest decision we could ever make ever.
Thank you. I love it
so much. But this is your summer EP as well. So yeah. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so Daisy Chains is the single of my summer EP, which is 6 tracks. I basically just wanted to create like a collection of songs that people can just have on repeat over the summertime. There's like a song for every moment. Everybody can relate to one song off the EP. So yeah, I'm really excited. It's finally out.
You pull a lot of inspiration all the time for all of your songs from like your family and your friends and all that kind of stuff. But what's Daisy Chains all about?
Oh, like summer as a kid, like nostalgia. For me, I always think of like summer, there's kind of a tiny bit of sadness as an adult because it's like, oh.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
What do you mean you have to work?
Yeah,
did you ever see that TikTok of the girl who was just like, and I actually still don't know to this day, was it a parody or not? But she's like, so when do we get our summer holidays?
Yeah, when does that happen? Yeah. Do you remember when the school bell will go off and you're like, oh my God, like summer would feel endless. Like it would feel like it would go on for a year. As an adult, we can't relate. We don't know what that feels like. So the song is basically just all about those like really special nostalgic memories that made summer so special. And Daisy Chains, to me, I just feel like when people hear it, they're like, oh my God, I remember sitting, you know, on the grass, like making Daisy Chains as a kid. So yeah.
Entertaining yourself for hours on end.
Hours on hours.
Was writing a summer EP, was that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah. Like especially over the last year, I kind of hid myself away for a while, especially while I was in LA, and I just wanted to like focus on songwriting. But what's interesting, I've been writing for this EP for a year, but Daisy Chains was one of the last songs that I actually wrote.
Stop.
So yeah, it's crazy that it ended up being the single. I just had the title. I had the title in my notes and I was like, I need a song called Daisy Chains. I need a song called Daisy Chains. And then it just came to life.
So. Do you do that a lot? Do you go to your notes app like and clock down things that you kind of think and go, this would work as a title or like this would work as like a lyric somewhere and then build it around that?
Constantly. Like a lot of people, if we're ever having a conversation, you're like, why did she just pick up her phone? That's so rude. I'm in the middle of talking to her. I'm like, oh, heartbroken, yeah. And I just start typing down words that you say. I'm like, oh, that's a good song title. I'm like, give me more.
But that's half the battle as well sometimes, isn't it? It does have to be like a catchy like name that everybody can talk about. And I also think as well that the hardest thing that artists have to deal with right now as well is knowing that if you're shouting at your Alexa or your Google or whatever it is in your head, it has to be easy for them to play.
I never thought of that. Oh my God.
Oh, well,
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to just have a song called like Hey Alexa or something.
Everyone's
Alexa.
Everyone's
Alexa goes crazy. I never thought about that actually. But I do always want like the song titles or the songs to be something that is very relatable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not too poetic. Something that people hear it and they're like, oh my God, that makes me think
this
of something.
Is it.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Love this. This is your first independent release. Was that scary or was it quite empowering? How are you feeling about it?
It's just been so fun. That's honestly the only word I've had. Like my first official independent release was actually my Christmas song, but this is my first collection as an independent artist, which is a lot more work. But I had to like really trust my gut. I didn't have to turn to anybody and say, oh, what do you think? Like, should I or shouldn't I? And I mean, so far, so good. It's just been so fun, honestly.
Going independent, though, that means that you have to do everything yourself.
Everything.
Yeah. So, I suppose, just like you said, there is a bit of fun in that. And there is a bit of liberation, too, going, oh, no, I actually don't have to ask anybody's opinion on this. This is truly, like, it's trusting your gut.
Exactly. And I think I would say I'm a little bit of a people pleaser that if I worked really hard on something and I was like, Laura, what do you think of this? And you're like, eh. I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, it's probably not great. So, taking that off the table, it means that anything that I'm like, oh, I really love this, I just have to go with it and I have to trust my gut, you know?
It's going to help you as a person and as an artist grow because you have to make the firm decisions yourself and you can't turn to anybody, which is very hard to do.
It is, especially, I wouldn't say I'm indecisive, but I do, I mean, I have anxiety. So so sometimes I think about things and I'm like, oh, like, is this the right thing to do? But I've just said to myself, no, if you really like something and you want to do it, don't ask yourself any questions. Just keep moving forward. Just keep doing it.
Go woman. And that's something that people should try and apply to life all the time. It is just trusting yourself.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Going, no, this is something I want to do. So I'm gonna go ahead with this.
Yeah.
You mentioned going to LA there. You go to Sweden a lot as well. Like, what do you get out of songwriting abroad? Like, out, away from here?
Yeah.
Like, is it just that you can completely solely focus or is that you're in a different environment?
I think it's kind of like getting a blank canvas. And I think it's meeting new people, being in a new environment and I think as a creative, you need new environments. Mm-hmm. If you're just constantly working with the same people or constantly seeing the same thing, inspiration is kind of hard to find then, if you know what I mean. Like, especially being in Sweden, how they work, they're so efficient and they're so on it versus like in LA, I would say a lot of people are like, yeah, like let's start at like 5 p.m. And I'm like, guys, I'm a granny. I need to do my skincare by 9. So that doesn't work.
I'm going to be so tired.
Yeah, I'm going to be so tired. I'm not that kind of girl, unfortunately. But I think just working in new environments and working with new people, you're always going to get like new ideas and like new inspiration. So yeah, it's so fun.
Something that I absolutely adore about you, and I mean, I've told this to you before anyway, even seeing you live, is that you always make sure that your late mother is such a huge part of, you know, of your story and of your life and your music. She is a really important part of the album on Passenger Seat.
Yeah, Passenger Seat. It's interesting though, because when I released Passenger Seat, I didn't tell anybody what it was about, because I was like, I kind of want people to have their own stories and kind of make it up in their mind. And people thought it was actually a breakup song first, and I let them. I was like, okay, cool, it's good to hear that. But then when I actually explained what the song was about, for anybody that doesn't know, just a quick synopsis, I was really sad selling my last car because my mom sat in that passenger seat with me. We'd do our beach drives, our chats, our cries, our laughs, everything. And when I got the new car, I was like, oh, her bum is not going to be on that seat. And that was like a whole thing. And I was really sad about it. And I just wrote a song about that, about passenger seat. And when I explained it, people were like, oh, now I understand the lyrics. Like, it kind of gave it a whole new meaning, which was, it was really special.
And that is something that a lot of people can apply to their lives. Like, I mean, okay, be it, you know, something like losing a parent, which is so hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Or if it's a breakup or a friend breakup or something, everybody goes through that. And it's kind of like, okay, here, I can have a sing, I can have a cry.
Yeah.
And it's a great track as well.
And thank you. And it's to keep it kind of open enough that people like that exactly. Yeah. If someone's going through a breakup, they're thinking about that when they're listening to it. I don't always like to shove my story down people's throat either. I like to, I'll always be honest and I'll always tell my side of the story, but I also want to keep it open enough that people can relate to it.
You know? That's what music is all about anyway. It's so that people can actually come up with their own narrative to what it is.
Is there any better feeling than when you hear a song and you're like, oh my God, Beyonce wrote that for me.
Yeah.
That is my life. Like, it's the best feeling in the world. So I'm trying my best to do that.
Speaking of songs being written for people, your dad.
Jesus, Tony.
I love Tony so, so much. It's the fact that I will say, I was at one of your gigs before and I was at the bar and your dad let me go ahead of him. And I didn't realize it was your dad. And to this day, I have so much respect for Tony. I'm like, what is how mad? It was only afterwards. I was like, oh my God, that's Amy's
Jeez, I'm
dad.
Surprised anybody slowed him down getting his Guinness now.
No, he was flat out talking. Sure. So like, I think it was kind of like, oh yeah, you can go, but no, I sound mad. But he was so emotional when he found out that one of the songs was dedicated to him.
Yeah, and I didn't tell him. He actually found out watching me talk about it on TV, which was gas. But I just, I'm so grateful for him. And I just feel like it's also important that I kind of appreciate my dad while he's here and he can enjoy it as well. And he just loves this. Like, he'll say things like, no, don't be putting that on Instagram. And then I'll catch him reading all the comments, like giggling and stuff. Like, he absolutely loves it. And like, he thinks he is, my dad thinks he's a celebrity.
He
like,
is,
no
though.
Joke.
But your dad's everybody's dad. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why he's so relatable, and that's why everybody adores him so much, because he still treats you like his little girl.
Yeah.
Like, he's not afraid to give out to you, and he's not afraid
to
tell you.
Jesus, no. I have to tell you a gas story real quick. I was performing with Dermot Kennedy last summer. Humble brag, sorry.
No, and go for it. Throw it in.
And we were performing in like this pub, and it was jammed. The security weren't letting anybody else in. And my dad went up to the door, and the guy was like, no, sorry, we're full. And my dad was like, excuse me. That's my child. The talent is my child. And they were like, oh, sorry, go on in. They thought he was Dermot Kennedy's dad. So when Dermot Kennedy's dad arrived, they were like, are you not already inside? What's going on? But my dad told me that after, I was mortified. I was like, oh my God. He went in being like, do you know who I am?
He literally did. Excuse me. And now they forever will.
Now they will.
And they will bar him from everywhere.
Barred. Yeah.
Okay, talk to me about some upcoming gigs that you've got going on. Where are you performing? Where can we see you? Because it's always a treat.
Yeah. My headline show is on the 4th of August in the Academy. And it's like the official launch performance of the EP. So it'll be the first time that I'll perform all the songs off the EP. And we've got some surprises planned as well. I'm dying. dying. Great. I'm so excited.
Okay, yeah. Well, I cannot wait for that. The last time I saw you was in the Grand Social, and I...
Oh my God, that was ages ago.
I know. And I had actually texted you after it because you had performed a song on stage at the time that wasn't released. And I was like, release the track. Like,
what was it, I wonder?
I can't for the life of me remember now. I mustn't have released it.
But yeah, you'll have to come to
the back.
Roll the tape.
Anybody who is looking for tickets, where can they go?
Ticketmaster. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Plain and simple. You don't have to get any more complicated than that. Amy, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.